First Chronicles chapter 4, I'll read verse number 9, and you read verse number 10 with me. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word this morning. Lord, you give us so much to sing about. Now, Father, please, as we come to your word, teach us to pray this morning. Help us to pray in your will. And Lord, just this one little aspect, please encourage, challenge, convict us. Lord, please and strengthen us for your cause and your glory. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. First Chronicles and Second Chronicles, they contain public records of the kings of Judah, the southern tribe. These records were noticeable facts and chronological events of the southern tribes in Judah. Significant events of the public officials were kept for official documents. That's why it's called Chronicles. It's called the records or the documents. First and Second Chronicles. First and Second Chronicles are like the public records in a courthouse or a journal of an individual. God didn't choose to record the chronicles of the kings of the northern tribes, the 10 tribes in the north. God chose to record the chronicles of the kings of Judah in the south because it was information about the human lineage of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just give you a quick breakdown about First Chronicles this morning. Stay with me and then we're going to go this way. Okay, we'll look at this and then come into it. The breakdown of the book goes this way. First Chronicles 1 through 10 is genealogies. It's going to start with Adam. It's going to all go all the way back to the first man. Then you're going to hit chapter 10, and that's going to stop. And from chapter 11 to 29 is the life of David. You say, how come? It's very important to a Jew that the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, that he be able to trace his lineage through David and Abraham. And so as you read 1 Chronicles 1 through 10 is not boring. It's hard to read because there's names that we don't pronounce anymore. You understand? But God's Word is not boring. There may be parts of it I don't understand, but don't ever call God's Word boring. I mean, if you look there, there's names that we don't pronounce. Look at verse 3 in chapter 4. Ready? And these were of the father, I'm at chapter 4, verse 3, the father of Etam, Jezreel and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Has a Little Pony. So we know that their sister had a horse, and it was just a little pony. Okay, that was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. I was reading that while studying that, and I just started giggling this week. Shame on me on that. Okay, let's come back to it. When you're reading chapters 1 through 10, it's going to go Adam, then it's going to go Noah, the flood. God started over again with Noah's family. Then it's going to go Abraham, Judah, and then David. And it's going to end with David in chapter 10, and then it's going to go into the life of David, the greatest king Israel had. If you aren't careful, when you're reading so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, you'd miss two verses of probably one of the most famous prayers in the Bible. I like taking prayers and looking at them. If you look at Nehemiah's prayer, and if you look at Daniel chapter 9, if you look at Nehemiah chapter 9. If you look at the Lord's model outline prayer in Matthew 6. If you look at the Lord's prayer in John 17. We can learn a lot about looking at the prayers in the Bible. What makes this prayer unique is the last part of verse 10. It says, "And God granted him that which he requested." Now, when you find something in the Bible where God says, "I like that, I'm going to answer that prayer," now, I can pull some truths from that. I'm like, well, God liked his prayer. So the prayer of Jabez has some, I think, some beautiful truths in it that I wanted to look at this morning. Here we go. If we started here, okay, Jabez's name is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. And it's in these 2 verses right here. That's the only time you ever hear of Jabez. That's it. This verse tells us that his mother called his name Jabez because she gave birth to him when she was in sorrow, when she was heartbroken. This teaches us that if we're in the valley, that there is a mountaintop ahead. And I've always used that in the Christian life. When I'm going through a hard time, I'm like, I know I'm in a valley, but that also tells me there's no valleys unless there's mountains. So if I'm in a low time, if I'm in a suffering time, then there's a mountaintop ahead. This also, many times, the dark, furious storm helps us appreciate the sunshine. Here, God's Word teaches us that we must sow in tears before we can reap in joy. And there are many blessings in serving God if you will just seek God's face and ask His help to push through the pain. There are many blessings in serving God. What else do you learn from this? I'm going to look at it casually and then we'll dive into some of the phrases here. Jabez, it says, is more honorable than his brethren. It says that before you even know how he got his name. It says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. It doesn't say who his brethren were. It just says he was more honorable than his brethren. His mother named him because of her sorrow. He gets the name Jabez. So I'm going to go ahead and say, because this man had an answered prayer, I'm going to go ahead and say he was honorable because he was a man of prayer. He was more honorable than his brethren because he prayed. He prayed. You see, it's one thing if men honor you, but the Most High honors Jabez in His Word, in the Bible. God chose not to record anything about Jabez other than he prayed. And God answered his prayer. You say, what battle did he fight? He didn't fight a fight. Yeah, but what did he build something great like Noah did? I don't know. It doesn't say what he built. Yeah, but who did he help? It doesn't say. Yeah, but did he work any miracles? It doesn't say. It just said he prayed and God answered his prayer. That's all it says. And God answered his prayer. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. That it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. The prayer of Jabez is, first of all, powerful because it was righteous. It was a powerful prayer because it was righteous. Listen closely. Prayer based on the Word of God is always powerful. And people don't look at their Bible as praying ground. But God teaches us to pray. And when God tells me to pray for something in His Word, I know when I pray that prayer, I'm on praying ground. That keeps out stupid prayers like this. Dear God, kill my enemies. God never told you to pray that way. I'm so mad at them. They kicked me off, took my money. And so God said, bless your enemies, do good to them that hate you. That's praying ground. But not based on my emotions. God's Word, when we pray on God's Word, this is what makes powerful prayers, and this is what God answers. Fleshly prayers are useless. You see, you can break this prayer down into phrases, and I just want to take that first phrase right now. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. He's saying, I want God's blessing on my life. When he said, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. Please bless me. And you see, in America, we can interpret that a whole bunch of ways, and I want you to interpret it the right way this morning. But he's not saying, Dear God, give me what I want. He's saying, God, you're the only one that blesses. Give me your blessing. And he's praying that, and I find this, because God answered his prayer, God likes it when we pray that way. God likes it when we pray that way. Here, when you humble yourself, God gives you the grace to pray this prayer. I know some people that are scared to pray this prayer. I hope you can pray by the end of the sermon. I hope you can pray this prayer. Dear God, please give me what you think is best for me. And there's some people that are scared to pray that. God, I want this, 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 and this. Now, God, please answer that. Instead of praying, what he's saying is, Dear God, give me what you know is best for me. You see, God's blessing is more easily seen against if I compare it to human blessings this morning. Like, for instance, there's the blessings of our parents. If you think about it, the blessing of an honest, holy, Christian father is a rich treasure to his children. Just like if a parent removes their blessing from the child, that is also a heartbreak, right? The child does something that the parents cannot approve of. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is your parents' blessing should mean something to you. Then there's also the blessings. Now these are humanly, because he's praying, Lord, please bless me with your blessing, not mine. Well, I'm looking at human blessings this morning. If you think about this, I enjoy the blessing of those of the person that had to do help me with my salvation, help grow me spiritually, the person that led you to the Lord. Their approval should mean a lot to you. Those that taught you the Bible, their approval should mean something to you, right? Those that helped you grow spiritually, their approval or their blessing should mean something to you. So there's the blessing of parents. There's the blessings of those who've influenced us spiritually. Then there's the blessing of helping someone in need. When you get a chance to help someone that's caught on the road or their car broke down, and then you get to hear, thank you for stopping and checking. Thank you. And that I like that, but those are human blessings. All of the blessings that I just told you fall short of God's blessing. Because Jabez prays here, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. God, I want your blessing. In other words, Father, they bless with words, but thou created the worlds and the universe with your word. I want your blessing. Listen to how David, the man after God's own heart, prayed. Just listen closely. 2 Samuel 7, just listen. And now, O Lord, thou that art God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised thy goodness unto thy servant, therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. He's asking for his blessing. That it may continue forever before thee, for thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. Listen. And with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed. God, David prayed the same prayer, but it doesn't record all that it records of Jabez. But when he said, Lord, oh, that thou wouldst bless me, David prayed, Lord, let thy blessing, Lord, with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed. Lord, other blessings bring us happiness, but your blessing brings us life. Men will bless you when you do good for yourself. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 49. We'll come back to 1 Chronicles. Go to Psalm chapter 49. If you've never read this psalm, it's amazing. And what God shows us that we do with ourselves and while we're down here on this earth. I know it's talking about the rich and things, but look at Psalm 49 and then look at verse number 16. Psalm 49 and then verse 16. Ready? Psalm 49 and verse 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. It's obviously talking about people that go to hell. It's talking about how people live on this earth with their money without God. Look at verse number 18. Watch this. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And then this little phrase, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Well, I have their approval, and I have their blessing, and they think I'm a pretty good person. I know, but what does God think of you? And people enjoy seeing success. People like seeing you succeed at your job. And they will bless you when you do good for yourself. But that's man's blessing. That's not God's blessing. You see, just like there are those who are willing to bless you when you're prosperous, okay, there's also those who are ready to condemn you when you're in adversity, like Job's comforters, miserable comforters. When someone commends us and blesses us, we're grateful, but their blessings are not of any great value compared to Jabez's prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. You see, we want to hear the Lord say as a Christian, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we should want to hear when we at the end of this life. We're going to see God someday, and we should want to hear that. You see, when someone commends us, we're grateful, but their blessings are not of any great value compared to God's. Sometimes men are blessed by flattery. We listen too much to other people's flattery. We should value people's criticism because it always causes us to rethink our path. But we're super prone to flattery. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're so good. And it's always vague. It's never specific. That's flattery. Praise is specific. You did this well. Thank you. You did this. Flattery is always general. Oh, you're super. Super at what? Super at what? That's flattery. And there's two people in your Bible that God says don't meddle with. Don't meddle with those that are given to change, and don't meddle with those that are given to flattery. Because you say, why? How come? God says in Proverbs 29:5, a man that flattereth with his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Normally, the flattery is a setup. And that's how, but we'll listen to it. And really, you think I'm great? Well, thank you. That's flattery. That's flattery. You see, I want God's benediction. Just remember this. Those that have honey on their tongue also have the poison of asps under it. Okay? I want God's benediction and I want God's blessing, because God never says more than He means, and He never gives less than He promises. We compared God's blessing this morning with man's blessing. I tried to show you that. You can compare God's blessing with temporary, inferior, and brief blessings. You say, what? We pray, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Okay? We're asking for spiritual blessings. God, please bless me with faith to trust you more. God, please bless me I'd like to be rich in love. I'd like to be rich in joy. I'd like to be rich in peace. I'd like to be rich in the favor of God. Man's heart craves wealth, and you could almost call it an instinct, okay? It's just what we're prone to. But there are thousands of proof that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The old saying goes, when you see how much a man has, you envy him, but if you could see how little he enjoys, you'd pity him. Those who have acquired all that they could wish for are led by their possessions to be discontented because they didn't have more. Covetousness. If you doubt what I'm saying this morning, I'm trying to tell you, out of those who've won the lottery, more than 50% of their lives have been destroyed, and they count it as a curse that they ever won the lottery. Well, let me win the lottery. Because, you know, everybody's an exception to the rule. Let me win the lottery and I'll handle that money better. Do you know how much money you have? You have as much money as God can trust you with. You know when you'll get more? When you handle what you have better. Amen. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. You know how come you don't have a million? Because God can't trust you with a million. If you do have a million, and I don't know about it, shame on you for not telling me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Here, all right. I just told you. Riches make themselves wings, the Bible says. I don't ever want to make a god out of the gold and silver, out of gold and silver, out of any of the goods that God's given me. You see, mankind craves wealth. We covet fame. But let me tell you this morning, your reputation is what men think you are. Your character is what God Almighty knows you are. I'm for you having a good reputation. But your reputation is only what people know that you are. Your character is what God sees that you are when you shut the light off. Because God sees all the time. That's your character. And by the way, you can't buy character. You can't buy character. You see, you should want to be known for your hard work ethic, your honesty, your kindness, your fair dealings. You should want to be known because you represent the King of Kings. You're a child of the King, a child of God. You should not be controlled by what others think of you. And Jabez prays this prayer, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. You, I want your blessing. Lord, what use is it, Lord, if my name is in a million people's mouths, but you have to spit it out of your mouth? To not be famous isn't the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Wives of the rich and famous, American Idol, America's Got Talent, blah, 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 blah. It's hogwash. We're going to be shocked one day when we get to the judgment seat of Christ as children of God. to see what those did behind the scenes who lived for God and needed no applause. And really, they preferred that nobody found out about it. We're going to be surprised to see peoples get crowned by the Savior. You see, let me give you another temporal blessing this morning, and I know it's a good blessing, but think about this. If you're healthy, if you have your health this morning, you should thank the Lord for it. I can move my fingers. I can walk. And if you ever get to where you can't do it, just go to the hospital and look at them, those who are being wheeled around in a wheelchair. Look for those whose arms are incapacitated. You'll praise God for what you have. If you have your health this morning, you have a lot to thank the Lord for, because watch this, tomorrow it can leave. So I thank the Lord while I have. It is a blessing. I am blessed. I didn't get up this morning sick, and sometimes I always say it every time I get the flu and I got a fever and throwing up and everything. I'm like, well, guess I took my health for granted again. Lord, I'm sorry. And it makes me pray for health. And then I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. You ought to thank the Lord if you have your health this morning. You should pray, Lord, please bless me with health so I can serve you. You see, I pray for those who don't have physical health this morning. I know Brother Murdoch had to leave. I pray for him. I pray for all of you. Miss Sandra Ford, she's in pain a lot. There's Mrs. Moody with her neck. She's hurting. She's in pain. And when you get your health and you get that, it is something you think, wow, Lord, this is obviously something I don't have all the time, so thank you for giving it. But that's not what Jabez is praying for here. You see, I want God's blessing. Would you take your Bible and go to Luke 18? Go to Luke 18. Jabez's prayer is, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. You're going to Luke 18, and look at verse number 9. There's one more blessing here that is foolish, it's sinful. I hope you don't have it, but this is one of those unseen things that's imagined. This is a curse. But there are imagined blessings that come from pride. Look at Luke 18. Look at verse number 9. Luke 18 and verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It teaches you real quick what prayers God answers, doesn't it? The man he's praying, he doesn't even look up, God, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. And that's the prayer God heard. Not the, why? You're so blessed to have me. I'm here. Yes, it's me again. Yes. I could find time in my busy schedule to come and talk with you. You see, the Pharisee thought he had the Lord's blessing, and he thought he actually deserved it. He thought he was a pattern person to the temple. And if everybody lived like he did, then there'd be no need for the police department. Pilate could dismiss his guards, and Herod could send home his soldiers. He thought he was one of the most wonderful people to have ever breathed. Thank you, Lord, that other men are not like me, because I'm the best you have. And God said he never heard his prayer. That prayer was never heard. He prayed, read it, with himself. He didn't pray with God. He prayed with himself. Because all his prayer was just a flattery of himself. You see, the Pharisee is the illustration of someone who was not blessed of God. The blessing he thought he had never came. The blessing never fell on the man who thought he had it. We should all be willing to pray this morning. Now I'm going to take you back to Jabez. We should all be willing to pray, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. I want God's blessing. Lord, help me never to wrap myself up in my filthy rags of righteousness and think that I have something worth looking at. I want the worthiness that God accepts, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed. You see, this is a prayer for what God knows I need. I don't know what I need. I think I know what I need. Let me just show you this. There's one more verse I want to show you, then we'll go back to 1 Chronicles. Go to Psalm 106. Go to Psalm 106. You see, if all I would have done, if I would have taken you to 1 Chronicles 4, I would have said, here's a prayer that God answered in the Bible. Read it, pray it, and God will bless you too. I don't think we would have interpreted the same because we're Americans. Oh, really? That's why I'm supposed to pray? Okay. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me, God. Then you got all these pictures of blessings in your mind that are not God's blessings. But God, when you start narrowing it down, what do you mean, Lord, I want Your blessing on my life? What do you mean by that? You're at Psalm 106. I'll read it in just a second. Just listen. It's always good to pray, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. See, I gotta have a filter when I pray because I'm so selfish. I'm so self-centered. And if I'm not careful, I'll pray for things that could hurt me. Oh, I want that so bad. Okay, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be open, seek and ye shall find. Okay, God, You said it. Lord, give me that and give me that and give me that and give me that and give me that. Lord, give me that. And God said, that's not what I intended. That's not how I intended you to pray. I need a filter, and what filters out my filth and my flesh is this. Lord, if You will, not as I will. Because I don't see things properly. And I think I'm praying a good prayer, but if I will, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You see, if not, I might ask for something that's dangerous for me to have. You say, well, God would never give you something that's bad for you to have. That's not true, and that's not scriptural. Look at Psalm 106, verse number 14. Ready? Psalm 106, verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Look at verse 15. And He gave them their request. Watch this. But sent leanness into their soul. God says, you can't get your mind off that. Fine, take it. And then they spiritually went down. If I'm not careful, my selfishness will pray for things that could hurt me. So I want to filter that prayer and pray, Lord, not as I will, but Lord, if You will. If You will. The old illustration goes like this. The little boy was dying. He's about 3 years old, and the mother called for the pastor. Said, I want you to pray. Pastor, my boy's dying. You pray. You pray that my boy lives. So the preacher bowed his head and he prayed. Lord, if You will, please save this boy's life. And she said, preacher, I don't want any ifs and buts in it. Just pray my boy lives. And the pastor looked at the woman and said, you are going to hate the day you put your will against God's will. 20 years later, she passed out at his execution for being a felon. It would have been better for him to die as a 3-year-old. I'm not for the death of anybody, but do you understand? Don't miss the illustration. I'm trying to say she got angry because the pastor prayed, Lord, if You will, save the boy's life. No, don't you pray that way. You pray my will. And that is a dangerous way to live. It's a dangerous way to live. You say, well, God doesn't answer prayers that aren't good. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. You better be careful what you pray for. When Jabez is praying and he's saying, oh, that Thou wouldst bless me. Please bless me, God. He is saying, Lord, I don't want what I want. I don't want what I think I need. Dear God, bless me and give me what You know me. No one knows me like You know me.
So please give me what you know I need. And can I just ask you this morning, what I'm trying to encourage you for, what I thought was absolutely amazing about this passage, if I think God put it in His Word to make an example to us to say, would you pray this? God said, could I ever give you what I think you need instead of what you think you need? Do you ever pray that prayer? And if you haven't, it's okay. I'm preaching this morning to open our eyes a little bit and say, wow, this is a good way to pray. God likes it when we pray this way. Not, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. Because if you add up what a lot of people pray for, it is. It's gimme, 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 gimme. Instead of, dear God, would you please bless me? How about this? Dear God, bless my family and give my family what you know we need. I think we need this, this, and this, and this. But God, please bless us with your blessing. Indeed. And I'm going to say it again. I said it at the start of the sermon. There's some people that are scared to pray that. And I wish you wouldn't be. I wish you could walk with God and love the Lord enough to know that if He wants you to have it, then that is God's design and God is going to help you through it. Well, what happens if God gives me a hard time and gives me pain and gives me suffering? Then you must have needed it. I didn't say I wish that for you. But the Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. And the good and the evil. So careful when we're praying. Sometimes we don't pray as we ought. You see, I don't want you to think this morning when you feel blessed that God loves you and when you don't feel blessed, God doesn't love you. That is not true. You see, without our pain and suffering and trials, we'd never see God's grace and feel His special comfort. When we pray for the mountaintop with Jesus, sometimes it may be better in God's eyes to go through the valley of humiliation so we can cry out, Lord, save me. This morning, when you look at Jabez's prayer, this is an exemplary prayer in the Word of God. And it starts this way, oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed. God, I want Your blessing, please. Could you pray that prayer? And I hope I inspire you a little bit to pray that this morning. I hope God touches your heart about it. Let's look at the rest of the prayer. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I realize I focused mostly on the first phrase this morning, but let's just finish it this morning. So he prays, Lord, bless me. I want your blessing indeed. Then he prays in 1 Chronicles 4:10. He prays, and enlarge my coast. What's that mean? I've written in my Bible, that's a dream and desire for productivity. Have you ever asked God to help you be a better soul winner? That's what he's praying. Lord, increase my coast. He's not praying for more land. He's saying, God, give me more influence. Help me at work with the people I work with. Help me in my family with the people that I live with. Help me, Lord, in my job. Help me, Lord, increase my coast. And dear God, give me influence. What a word. Enlarge my coast. That's productivity. Have you ever asked God to help you be a productive Christian? He says, God, give me your blessing. Then he says, dear God, help me be productive. Have you ever prayed about your own personal soul winning? Dear God, help me lead people to Christ. You say, you're supposed to pray that because you're a preacher. You're supposed to pray that if you're saved. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was around lost people all day long. You know how I went to chow line? They had early chow, 5 o'clock. I was always in early chow. I got up at 3:30, read my Bible, prayed, and I was at early chow because I didn't have to wait in the mile-long lines. You know, military, hurry up and wait. Okay? So I'd go to early chow. There'd be 10 guys in front of me, 10 guys in back of me. I'd hand out a track, witness, look at the clock, and go to the back of the line. And I'd witness to the guy there, witness to the guy in back of me. Took about 10 minutes, almost to the front, and then I'd go to the back of the line. You can't hand out gospel tracts. I'm waiting in line for chow. I'm a government paid missionary. Do you ever pray about your soul winning? Do you ever pray, Lord, enlarge my coast? Help me with the people that I influence. Enlarge my influence. Dear God, do you ever pray about your productivity as a Christian? Jabez did. God, I want your blessing. Enlarge my coast. And then look what he prayed. Ready? Watch this. And that thy hand might be with me. God's hand's always a picture of his power. I have written in my Bible right there. He was praying for God's power. He was praying for the Holy Spirit of God. He was praying for God, give me your power. Help me not to live the Christian life in my power, but dear God, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, fill me and give me your power. I want your hand on what I do. I want your power. And none of us are good parents or good anything without God's power. You need the Spirit of God to help you. He's praying, Lord, I want your blessing. I want your influence. Can I ask you this? That's another prayer. I don't think there ought to be anything you're scared to ask God, but I'm amazed at what Christians are scared to ask. Have you ever said, dear God, fill me and use me? Well, I wouldn't want to do that. God might use me. Isn't that the purpose of the Christian life? I don't want to eat, sleep, and excrete until I die. I want to do something for God before I leave planet Earth. Amen? What a prayer. Dear God, bless me, increase my influence. Lord, help me be productive for you. And Lord, let your hand be upon me. God, give me your power. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And I know many Christians that have never prayed that prayer because it's too spiritual. God, please. Here we go. Can we go just take a side road here? They know what they're doing isn't blessable by God, so they would rather not pray that because they have no intention of quitting what they're doing. I know God doesn't approve of all these friends, but, you know, they're pretty good. And okay, let me put it bottom line. I'd really rather hang out with them than God. That's why they don't pray that prayer. Let's go back to the prayer. First Chronicles 10. Look at the last phrase here. Ready? Watch this. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. It would help if, when you're reading this, if you understood the difference between sin and evil. What is sin? Sin is when you break God's law. Evil is when you encourage somebody else to break God's law. Sin is when you smoke a cigarette. Evil is when you offer the cigarette to somebody else. That's evil. It hurts other people. Sin is when you do wrong. Evil is when you get other people to do wrong with you. Because after all, you got to have a support group. Sin is when you listen to rock music. Evil is when you give it to others. That's evil. And here he said, dear God, keep me, Lord, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. Don't let me hurt somebody else that it may not grieve me. God, don't let me live. I'll never forget it. One of the most influential men, best preachers I've ever heard, he said, before I got saved, it was my fault, my buddy. He said he was a Navy pilot. He said they trained us to drop the atom bomb. He said, my job, I was a pilot. He said, I was trained to do one thing, drop the bomb. He said, but after squadron, after we were done, he said, I took my friend out. He didn't want to drink, but I got him drinking. He said, then I got saved. A teenager came to our door, witnessed to me. I got saved. He said, when I went to try to witness to my buddy, he was a drunk. And he said, I could never get him. He said, every time I looked at his wrecked life, I'd always say, yep, I did that. That's because of my influence before I got saved. He said it always haunted me. That it may not grieve me. That it may not grieve me. I know the Lord gave us the same idea in His model prayer when He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But just remember something. Evil keeps you from the sweet presence of God. When God renews your strength and effort to do something for Him, then this also leads to a renewed attack from Satan against you. Did you know this? Did you know within our heart is the capacity to commit any sin? I'd never do that.
You're capable of anything if you get away from God. You're capable of anything. Our flesh, my flesh is wicked. It's wicked. And God says, Lord, please don't let me hurt others with my disobedience. Here he's praying. So if I break down the prayer of Jabez, it is a model prayer in the Bible. And as I read it and studied it, I thought, God wants me to pray this. I don't know anything else about Jabez other than he prayed this prayer and God granted him his request. And I thought, you as a child of God and me, could we pray that? Dear God, please bless me with your blessing. Enlarge my coast. Dear God, help my influence. Lord, let your hand be upon me. Please give me your power. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please, I yield myself to you. And Lord, help me not to hurt others with my disobedience. So that later on in life it grieves me and I look back and say, I messed up a lot of other people. I messed up my kids. They saw me do that. And then they used it as a pattern for their life. That it may not grieve me. And I thought, you know what? Jabez's prayer in this, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. Two verses that stand out where God says, I like that prayer. The name of the sermon is called The Prayer of Jabez. It's one of the most noticeable prayers in the Bible. I wanted to look at it this morning. I hope you're able to pray that prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning.